I just wanted to read a little something here to you that's been such a blessing to me, just to open our service up. And it doesn't matter where you're at in life, where you're at in the world. It doesn't matter how hard a day you're having or whatever is going on in your life. Nothing seems to stay the same. Change is for certain. This we should know. Each day opening the curtain on a brand new show. And isn't that so true? And I can just think of heaven and how the Lord is, he speaks to the angels and he says, look at that congregation there. Look at those folks. They love me. They love me. They're singing praise and worship to me. Today I have just three portions of scripture that we'll be looking into a bit. And then I have a story about an old fellow by the name of Ed that I hope will be a blessing to you. Our scripture reading from 2 Corinthians this morning. You know, the Lord tells us that we are ambassadors for Him. And I have the New Living Translation. It's getting kind of, my particular one is getting kind of in bad shape, but it's been through the mill. But I'm able to talk with a lot of young people out of the New Living Translation. It has its share of problems, folks. I'm not saying, I want you all to go and get a New Living Translation, and if you don't have that, you're just not going to progress in your Christian walk. No, not at all. The Lord gives us wisdom, and He gives us discernment, and He gives us great encouragement, always encouraging us. And I couldn't help but notice in our reading from Matthew 28 this morning, twice, don't be afraid. So whatever fears you have, whatever is in your life today that seems to be holding you down, don't be afraid. God's got it all under control. And it saddens my heart when we hear of individuals who have passed away, and especially if they're individuals that really didn't seem to make a commitment to the Lord. But all of us have that date when we will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We will go to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So let me just read this to you, and then we're going to pray and move on. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. He said, whatever we do, it is because Christ's love controls us, in my version. I learned this in the King James, milking cows. I had verses up in the milking parlor on the walls, and I learned verses of scripture in the King James Bible. That's about all we had back in that day. It's been some years ago. It says, we are constrained by the love of Christ. That's our motivation. And folks, if you are not motivated to be an ambassador for Christ, ask the Lord to motivate you. And if you have something in your life that seems to be holding you back from being a good ambassador for Christ, give it to Him. Lord, make me fit for Your use. He said, since we believe that Christ died for everyone, we also believe that we have all died to the old life we used to live. He died for everyone so that those who receive His new life will no longer live to please themselves. Instead, they will live to please Christ who died and was raised for them. Isn't that amazing? Died and raised from that grave for all believers, for you and I, and for everyone who will in the future believe, and for everyone who in the past has believed. So we have stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, as though he were merely a human being, persecuted the church, rounded them up, believers, had some of them killed, going to put some in prison. And one day he met the Lord, and he says, how differently I think about him now. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore, for the old life is gone. A new life has begun. And let me just share a little something with you. I try never to carry any known sin with me. When God puts his finger on something in my life, I confess it. I don't want to carry it with me. I don't want to have it drag me down. And there are times when we may think, the Lord just can't forgive me this. I've stepped over the line. And that's what sin is. You step over a line that God has. Transgressions. Trans, meaning going. Transcontinental Airlines. Jump. I don't know if they're in business yet. But when you think of transatlantic, you're going across the Atlantic. Gression means going. So God forgives our sins and all of our transgressions. And I think of Samson. Spoiled. It seemed like he got involved in a lot of things he shouldn't have gotten involved in. And yet, God gave him that last opportunity to fight against his enemies and to glorify God. It cost him his life, but his life was over already. Eyes gouged out because of his sins. Samson, a man of God, got that last opportunity. He got another chance, and God gives us all that as well. He says this, a new life has begun. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to himself. What's your job? What's your task? What's your work? Oh, I'm an engineer. I'm a farmer. I drive a snowplow. I work for the county. I work for the city. I'm an attorney. Whatever. I'm a doctor. Whatever it is. I have a friend, Jerry Varner, who has a dairy farm up in Hope, Michigan. He milks 600 cows. His operation is clean, neat as can be. Jerry was going to Michigan State studying to be a surgeon. And his father died at the breakfast table after Jerry and his brother had left for college. They were probably 30 miles away, and his father, their father, unexpectedly died. Christian man in his 50s. Jerry told me, he said, I had to drop my plans of being a surgeon because God had other plans for me. He said, I just couldn't make enough money being a surgeon, so I became a dairy farmer, so that I could make enough money to survive on. But Christian man, things just sometimes happen where plans go astray. And God says our task is to reconcile people to him. You see the cross there? That, what a wonderful thing. God stretching his arms out, the Lord on that cross. And yet, that connection with the Father in heaven. He died for our sins. So that's our task, to reconcile people to him. How do I do that? I read this word. I read it. I love it. I can't get enough of it. But I do not want to be so heavenly minded that I become of no earthly value. I want to love people as Christ loves people. Verse 17 of John chapter 3. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I've been forgiven of my sins. Am I going to condemn people for the way they live? No, it breaks my heart, but it encourages me to pray for them. It encourages me to be their friend. It encourages me to ask the Lord how I can reach out to those individuals. And we have some in our own family. Let me share a little story with you. We have a son, our youngest son. His name is Wayne. If Wayne would have been our first son, we'd have had one child. That would have been it. No more. He put us through the mill. And I would get angry at him, and I'd want to wail on him. And he was disciplined. He had more spankings than all the other, we have four children, than the other three ever had. Maybe you were that way when you were growing up, were you? Did you get more spankings than all your siblings put together? Probably because you needed it. But he would take my tools. And he and his buddies, they'd tear a car apart or be doing something. My tools wouldn't come back home. And I'd need a special wrench or something that I had. Wasn't there. So I'd get on him. Wayne, where are my tools? What'd you do with them? Why are you taking my stuff? Well, Dad, I just borrowed it. I'm going to bring it back. And one day, the Lord said to me, I don't holler at you for things you do that are wrong, and I do not want you hollering at your son anymore. I quit. Didn't matter if my tools were gone. I gave all my tools to the Lord. I gave my special jacks and wrenches that I had, I gave them all to the Lord because He takes good care of His stuff. I didn't have any more worries. They weren't mine. They belonged to the Lord. I had wrenches come back to my house and in the toolbox and in the tractors that weren't even mine. Isn't that amazing? I had more tools than I ever had before. And I think as parents, and I see youngsters here. Parents, love your children. Don't you be hollering at them and belittling them. Hug them. Love them. Say, I know, I understand. I understand what you did. Because when the sign was up on the wall and said wet paint, I also went over there and put my finger on that wet paint just to make sure that it was wet paint. In other words, I violated God's laws too. Be an ambassador in your homes, parents. And you kids, all of you, love your parents, love your mother, love your father. They need your love. Be a family. Have God's blessings flow into your lives. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. This is the wonderful message He has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you. We urge you, as though Christ Himself were here pleading with you, be reconciled to God. Get a hold of God. Embrace God. Maybe you've been running away from the Lord. Time to stop. Join Him. He loves you too much to let you go. He loves you too much to just let you travel that path of unrighteousness, that path that leads to death. We are ambassadors. And it's interesting, that word ambassador or ambassadors, Paul used it here and also I think in Ephesians 6. And it has the idea of someone who is learned, someone who has had a change, someone because of maturity now is much wiser than before. And we are made wise by knowing Jesus Christ. Like Paul said, what I did before, I did ignorantly. Why did I do it? Because of my unbelief and my stupidity and because of my unwillingness to follow what I knew to be God's truth. I want to take you to 2 Kings. What's our time doing here? Ooh, boy, it's going way fast. Okay, Keith, Pastor Keith, whom I love dearly, and I'm glad that you all have a shepherd to help guide you, and that you all work together, and may that continue, and may you all work together tomorrow better than you did last week or whenever. 2 Kings, I just wanted to share this little story with you, and hopefully it'll be a blessing. Chapter 5. You all probably know the story of Naaman, don't you? He was a leper. He had a contagious skin disease. And he needed help. He needed someone that could come and be a blessing of healing to him. He needed to have this matter of his leprosy healed. He needed a new start. He got it. Listen to this. The king of Aram had high admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. All just like us. We all suffer from sin. Got to have a cure. We got to have someone else come and change us, heal us. Now, groups of Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. This young girl had been ripped away from her home, from her relatives, from her land, taken to a strange land, and now she is a servant girl to Naaman's wife, serving as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." Go see that man of God. Go see him and find out what it means to be healed from sin. That's the message of the cross. For I am not ashamed of the good news of Christ, the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation unto all who believe. Not only the Jews, but also we Gentiles. Good news. Great message. No longer have to die. I'm just going to share this little thought with you. You can read the rest of that. That's your assignment. Can I give you an assignment today? Cold day. Would you read the rest of chapter 5 of 2 Kings? Guarantee you'll get a blessing from it. But anyway, that was my life. I was like Naaman. No hope. Death everywhere I looked. Before I became a Christian. And on top of it, I have a man who was an ambassador from God. This man, he was rough, tough dude. He was a bar brawler, a drunk, and not a big guy. He'd get beat up, and next week he'd be back in the bar when he got a check, and he'd get beat up again. But he came to know Jesus Christ, and he came around as an ambassador of Christ, and he told me, "Jerry, you better straighten your life up or you're going to hell." I went through 2 years of looking into hell. I didn't know how I could be saved. But he gave me a message that I needed to change my life or I was going to end up in hell. And I thought, who is this chump that he thinks that he's better than I am? That he is on the way to heaven, but good me, who love my wife, children, neighborly to everyone, that I was going to hell and he was going to heaven? What made the difference? Well, I came to find out later that it was Jesus who made the difference. And because of my thankfulness for the Lord saving me, I have tried to be a good ambassador for Christ. Whatever I can do to help people, I try to do. We had a man who lived with Jackie and I, my wife Jackie and I. He lived with us for almost 3 months. His brother lived here in Elmont. We were part of MPRI, which is the Michigan Prisoner Returning Incentive. Big title. Administrative staff seemed to take a lot of their money, but he got a little help. He had been in prison. He had spent 18 total years in prison, not all at one time. 10 years the last time he was in. And we became friends with him, just tried to mentor him. He ended up at his brother's home here in Elmont. And he had hepatitis C. He never said anything to his brother or his brother's wife that he had hepatitis C. And brother and his wife had 2 children. So they said, "You've got to leave." He had nowhere to go. And we took him into our home. He became like a son to me. And sad to say, there were times in his life after he moved out, my brother and his wife helped him get an apartment in the Emily City area. And all the freedom he had, he couldn't handle it. He began to drink, and he got in trouble. Put him in the county jail, brought him before the judge, violation of parole. Broke our hearts. We prayed. He ended up spending 28 days in jail. Part of that 28 days was back to Jackson Prison. And out of the clear blue, he got released. And today, he's trying to serve the Lord. He lives in Florida. He's married now. And things seem to be much better for him. So, we never know what God will do when we reach out to someone else. Now, my little story about Ed. Ed would take a bucket of shrimp. He'd head to the pier down in Florida, and old Ed would take and feed the seagulls. Have any of you ever heard the story of this story? Okay. Ed would feed the seagulls. Every Friday night, you could see old Ed going down with his bucket of shrimp, feeding the seagulls. And people thought, this guy is nuts. This guy is not right here. He's got some problems. But old Ed was a pilot in World War I. He shot down 26 German planes, World War I. And he also received the Congressional Medal of Honor. World War II came by. He and 6 others were on a B-17 bomber. They were going to try and find General MacArthur, and they ran out of fuel. Down it went into the ocean. After 8 days at sea, they were out of food, out of water. And they had a little time with God. Ed was not a believer at that time. Little prayer meeting with God, whether one or two of the folks were Christians, I don't know. They were ambassadors for Christ. Someone was. They prayed shortly after. Ed is in, he's got his old hat over top of his head, and he's in the boat, and he felt something land on his head. It was a seagull. And he's wondering, how can I get this bird? They're fast, they're quick. He reached quickly, got that seagull. They ate that seagull. And they used parts of that seagull for bait, and they caught fish. And for 28 days, they were adrift on the sea before they were rescued. But because Ed loved life, because he knew that without that seagull landing, they would have died from a human standpoint, he wanted to give back. And he gave back by feeding those seagulls. It was a daily thing for him. His name was Eddie Rickenbacker. And Ed, at one time, owned the Indianapolis Speedway for, I think, about 18, 19 years. Very much involved in aviation as well. And a war hero, but a man who had God's heart. And I'm sure old Ed reached out to anyone that he could find to reach out to. Let me just close. Book of Jude. I told you that I had three passages of Scripture. And I know that you folks do reach out to others. I go to church, Jackie and I, just up the road a little ways to the Elmont Vineyard Church, and we enjoy such good relationship with all of you here at the Elmont Congregational Church, which it's a wonderful thing to have that. Though we're different, we can worship together, we can sing together, and we can encourage each other together. The book of Jude, verse 20. It's only one chapter long. You, dear friends, I want to be your friend. And I love every one of you. And I hope that you will continue to be ambassadors for Christ and have God's wisdom to be able to reach out to others. He says you must continue to build your lives on the foundation of your holy faith. Number one, build. Number two, continue to pray as you are directed by the Holy Spirit. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. This praise and worship that we had this morning, that's Holy Spirit directed. That's from the Holy Spirit. And if you have a voice to sing, get up there and help them all. Get up there and sing for the glory of God. That's just a wonderful thought. Continue to pray as you are directed by the Holy Spirit. Live in such a way that God's love can bless you as you wait for the eternal life that our Lord Jesus Christ in His mercy is going to give you. Well, we know we have eternal life the moment we believe. But we haven't gone off into eternity yet. We still have our bodies, our tabernacle. Jackie and I have to go over to the funeral home in Lapeer later today. A young man who grew up with our son passed away with a massive heart attack, 50 years old. Just so unexpected. We never know, do we? We have that eternal life in Christ. And then show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Now, are any of you wavering a little in your faith? You've had things come into your life and you said, you know, I just don't experience that love of God. And why did this have to happen to me? things were going along well, and God supposedly loves me, and now I'm crashing and burning. And he says, Jude says this, show mercy to each other. Encourage each other. That's what being an ambassador is about. Hooking up with each other. Brother, things aren't so bad. You're still breathing. You're on the right side of the grass. My sister, whatever is happening, God is with you. Remember that. And then rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. There are still others to whom you need to show mercy, but be careful that you are not contaminated by their sins. How would we ever get away from being with people that are sinners and they just don't, they're dead in their trespasses and sins? Well, we'd have to leave the world. We'd have to be taken out of here. But in the meantime, make the very best of being a good ambassador for Jesus Christ. That you may hear the Lord say, when your day comes before Him, well done, my good and faithful servant. You may have faltered. You may have failed. You say, I just don't know how I can talk to others. Well, talk to God first, and He'll help you do that. And I pray that you all will grow more and more here in numbers, and that your faith will go down deep, your roots into Jesus Christ. Let's pray, can we? Father, thank you for every person that's here today. Thank you for this church family. Lord, down through the years, this has been a light here in this community for the Lord. And we thank you, Father, that the gospel, the good news, goes forth here every Sunday, every day that folks meet together and they are being encouraged by each other. Lord, you're the one who is the director of this whole thing called the world and all of the things here. You rule, you reign, and you love so deeply. And so, Father, help us to have that love that you have and to pass it on to others. Lord, bless the young folk as they're away on their journey, Pastor Keith, and as they travel home, and our brother has already prayed. We just want to lift everyone up in prayer and ask that you watch over each and every person. And Lord, until we meet again, give us safety on the highway. Bless us. Help us honor you in all we say and all we do. And Lord, there are some that may have had a bad day yesterday, but may today be a much better day, a day filled with your peace. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you all. Kept you over maybe a little. What time does Keith usually...